Morning!
Morning!
Welcome to the India Explained podcast, recorded in London and San Francisco. One take, unscripted, no rehearsal.
Hey Bunty, greetings from San Francisco, greetings to our listeners. So, how are things at your end, man?
Things are good, bro. I think obviously December's upon us. Almost upon us, not technically not yet, which means it's getting ready for Christmas. So in the household, we have this Christmas tree ritual where we bring a Christmas tree, dress it up, etc., etc. So we have family that celebrates all festivals, and we are getting into the home stretch of the year, and Christmas is opening up. But that kind of compensates for the cold and gloominess outside.
Yeah, and I think that's probably my sense is that historically that's why this is the time when, you know, you have these celebrations, festivities, because, you know, it can get pretty gloomy and isolating. I know that for a lot of people, the holiday season tends to be one where they get the blues. We've had very bleak and kind of gray weather here as well, with just intermittent bursts of, you know, sunshine. So it's nice to sort of see the lights and stuff. So I was thinking that, you know, we should really talk about this. You mentioned you have a disco-themed office party coming up, and we can talk about your experience and my experience of, you know, office parties or work-related parties, even in India, though we both had fairly short stints of working there before we emigrated to the West.
Yes, I think, you know, this Christmas is something that, you know, one of the things that happens in office situations is you have to have an office party, right? Generally, they take on a theme. Office parties, to be honest, though, it does not bring out the best in me personally, right?
Yeah.
Because I think it's this heady comp. You see, when the alcohol goes in, the truth comes out, right? And when the alcohol goes in and the truth comes out, that situation, if you're dealing with people who are work colleagues, right? If there is somebody, I find it hugely stressful going to office Christmas parties, because you feel like you're walking this hypocritical tightrope of being friendly while everything around you is conspiring for you to be frank and honest.
Right.
So there's music, there's bright lights, people are dressed casually. So generally these parties have a theme, right? There's a lot of food and drink. So all of the social signals are better, take it easy. Let your head out, forget about work, right? But the moment you're fooled into that sense of safety, that I can say what I want. And I learned this from experience, which I will talk about separately, that, you know, my first Christmas party. But, you know, that's my kind of introductory remarks on office parties. It's something that I'm deeply scared of. Not because of the sociability, but because of this kind of intersection of informality and work, right? It's just leaving you thinking, better have fun, right? But actually, uncle is watching, right? Obviously, there are HR people swarming, right? I don't do anything that is naturally contravening the HR scheme of things. So I think it's a heavy mixture. I think in general, office parties should be banned. But what are your experiences of social gatherings at work?
So, you know, in general, I live about, depending on, you know, how you map it, 40 to 50 miles, you know, from work. So there have been a lot of these social non-essential events, which I just haven't been able to logistically attend. And it's not entirely a bad thing. I mean, you know, sometimes we'll have an end of the year, like department lunch or something. So they don't really become these kind of grand parties in academia. But so the closest thing that I would say is, you know, something that resembles an office work party is when you're at a conference, you know, sometimes on the last day of the conference, or maybe even, you know, the middle of the conference, one evening, there'll be a kind of like, you know, dinner and, you know, just a sort of gathering with drinks and hors d'oeuvres and stuff. And that is where, you know, I have seen, like, to me, you find some of the contradictions of American academia. Now, when I was a grad student, I'd gone for one such conference, and it was in New Orleans, and it had been held in a giant hall. It's sort of weird, why? Because New Orleans has this massive parade, right, in the, you know, which is Mardi Gras. So this was a massive go-down. Must have been something like, looked like, you know, a plane unused or a retired plane hangar or something. So you had these giant, absolutely humongous, like 100-foot statues, you know, like Ravan and stuff. which had been, well, so that there was that element of weirdness. And then, you know, there's massive, like, large number of people at the conference. But I heard this academic suddenly get excited saying, oh, free shrimp. And, now, this is someone who was, you know, this is someone, and you're supposed to wear a badge, right? So yeah. Everyone wears a badge, and that badge is a whole other story. Like, it creates this kind of pecking order about, you know, whom to cultivate, whom not to. And I saw this is like, you know, an associate professor or a full professor at some university. So yeah. Wherever the person was, they were tenured, they were full. Yeah. So they at least had a stable life. And that's pretty much the highest or the best deal you can aspire to in academia now, the tenure track, tenure job. And I was thinking that, dude, this is like a guy with a tenured job,
yeah,
who has stability, good salary, and he's getting excited at free shrimp. I'm a grad student. What does this profession have in store for me?
That's a wild story.
So that is,
I think I've arrived in the UK. It is, 6 weeks into a new job, I guess, and I'm called to a Christmas party, right? Uh-huh. And you must remember that in the lead up to this Christmas party, the only other office gatherings I had been in was in advertising in New Delhi, uh-huh, right? Where it was kind of, there was, what would happen was you'd get to a party and it would be organized around Taliban lines, as in women would be in one corner, men would be in another corner, uh-huh, right? Then the drinking would start, and then one guy would start mingling with the women, and then by about 9:30, 10, it would become a mixed group of people. Right. This is Delhi, which is actually deeper than South Delhi, on conservative city, right? Hmm. And generally, a good time would be had, hmm, right?
Hmm.
So I went in an office party in the UK, thinking no less that, you know, we would have a good time. That's the game plan, right?
Hmm.
And I enter the room, and the room is kind of set up in tables where you are supposed to have dinner. So there are like round tables,
mm,
where you are sat beside colleagues who you would like, you know, colleagues in logistics, finance. You don't give a rat's ass about what they do for a living, but, mm, you know, you're sat beside them, right?
Mm-hmm.
And as the evening progresses, you realize that they are fantastic people. You can have a conversation, etc. So all of that's going well.
Mm.
What I didn't know was these office Christmas parties are opportunities where the super bosses mingle with the ground troops, right?
Mm-hmm.
And I remain a ground troop in my mind all the time. But then I was actually a ground troop as well.
Mm-hmm.
So the boss came to me and said, and she was a lady, she said to me, how's it going? And I said, you know, it's going well. And I got suckered into this frankness. It was around 1 o'clock in the morning.
Mm-hmm.
And she said, and I said, Catherine, can I just tell you something? She said, yeah, just feel free. Tell me what you want. And I said, you know, I don't think of this, but a lot of the other people who I have met in the last 6 weeks in the business think of you as a bitch. I don't.
You said that.
Well, I said that, you know, because I said, let's start afresh. You know, let us do this the way it's meant to be done, right? And what's the reason for it? You know, because, you know, I met you a couple of times, you're a very decent person. She said, no, I'm really perplexed that you've heard this, and, you know, it's untoward, but it's a big organization.
Yeah.
And I lasted in that job for about 6 months after that. So that is my kind of story about, you know, Christmas party. So your shrimp story, that, you know, guy... And my story at the other end, I mean, difference is, but there's enough for food and drink to eat. But one false move, that is why anytime there's a Christmas party type situation or a summer party, those are the two things, a summer party and a Christmas party, my heart sinks, man, because I think, and what is compounding matters this time is it's a disco theme party. The thing to say here, Rohit, I don't know, have you ever been to a fancy dress type situation in an adult life?
No, I dodge those things. I mean, that's just, you know, for me, this in the West, I mean, there are a few things, I've lived here a long time, 2 decades almost now. A couple of things were nahi jamta yaar, like, you know, that adults playing musical chairs and games and all. Or,
yeah,
you know, even when, you know, you go to a school first PTA meeting, they'll be like, okay, you know, join up in pairs and then, you know, play this game to trust and all. I'm like, I'm out of all of this. That's when I, you know, pretend to go to the restroom and step out. So this stuff, it freaks me out, man.
So I have bought this one shirt, right? I think I bought it from Fashion Street in Bombay. This is a long time ago. Right? It was a slightly oversized shirt which fits me. It's the most lurid shirt that you can ever buy. Right? And it's not a testament to my taste at that time. It was just something that was given away cheap. Right? So you were buying four, you got the fifth free. Right? So I bought that. Now, when I met my wife, one of the first things I did for going out with her socially, I just thought that, you know, to come across as a memorable and eccentric dresser, I would use that shirt. Right? So that lurid shirt, which at that point I thought was quite a statement, it remains with me for sentimental reasons. Now, because it's a lurid, really oddball shirt, it has served its purpose of doing a fancy dress number, irrespective of the context. So it's a 70s party, it's Hollywood themed party, whether it's Halloween party, all I have to do is put on a pair of jeans and put this shirt on. And people think this guy has made an effort, right? You know, so what am I doing for this disco party? So different people are, and particularly the ladies in the office are thinking, shall I dress, shall I this? And there's a lot of conversation around this. which, again, the other thing is you shouldn't commit to these conversations around who's wearing what, whether that's a good thing or not. Just nod along. So people have been asking, what's your plan? So I said, look, I've got this go-to shirt that I'll put on. Now, but my wife's been telling me that you will not put on that shirt because what semblance of credibility you have developed at your job for the last 18 months will all fall apart. So that's where the discussion rests in the leader. But I'm thinking that investing in a shirt that kind of address multiple themes was something that was accorded to me by Bombay Fashion Street. For which I will always be grateful.
Yeah, I'm still exercising the ghost of Fashion Street because my point is that I wore those clothes for many years. So now I'm going to finally buy decent clothes.
I think the wider point we were trying to make in this discussion is, I think we are entering we've emerged out of Diwali season, which is great fun and a lot of food and festival. You guys have done Thanksgiving. We're entering into Christmas. And I just think that, with so much doom and gloom in the news and everything that we do, I think it's good for us to reflect as friends that we are, and with our wider listeners, that all is not shit. Want to find happiness, you just try and find your own happiness.
Yeah, I mean, that's just the nature of it. You're right, because there's a certain strand of liberal thinking, which is that there's so much suffering in the world that it's sort of a crime that if you are happy or you enjoy yourself or, you spend a little bit of money, which you've earned, then, somehow you're complicit in that violence and gloom and doom. So that is a pointless kind of way to live your life. I don't know about, this is taking a different turn and maybe a topic for another conversation. But as I get older, I do experience, there are two things that strike me very powerfully. One is a sense of the fragility of life. When you're young, you're invincible. So one is a sense of the fragility of life. And I'd say three things. The second is that both failure and success matter less and less. So, I'm not saying it doesn't matter. I'm not saying that, security is not important, getting validation, being good at your work and being recognized for it. All of these things don't matter. They matter tremendously. But, you kind of bounce back from the failures a little faster and you don't, think you're, the cock of the walk on the successes. But also so the fragility of life, and then just again something about how quickly time flies by, right? So that you, if you have a memorable day somewhere mentally, I think that this is a magical day. So it's like a photograph, it's like a mental photograph, and I just pocket it away. So I'm something beautiful happened today. We made a beautiful memory. I had a remarkable, spectacular experience, and then this is. And it's perfect because nothing will take this away. Tomorrow might wind up being, a lousy day, and then other bad things might happen, God forbid. But this beautiful memory, this wonderful experience will stay uncontaminated. So the way I see it is, in the time you have, try and get as many of those things as possible, And of course, you think of the future, and it doesn't mean that, you act reckless and irresponsible. And, I think, sure, and over the course of a life, I've been responsible, but I've also had, some impulsive moments, done some reckless things, and that's okay. One doesn't have to beat oneself up about those. But I think what your point is very well made. Now, not to put a dampener on this, but there's one other angle of the office party, which I think is a universal across discipline, across professions and across context, geography, which is the lecherous old man. you know, like,
very true.
I'm telling you, not a 54-year-old, you know, HR manager or, you know, like assistant VP accounts, you know, suddenly like hand lingering on back of like, you know, 25-year-old, you know, woman who's joined still on probation, like creepy touch. So that, you know, and especially like, you know, in the Indian context, like 3 drinks of alcohol means that, you know, it is okay to flash. Yes. It is not.
I see you make a very interesting point. I think one of the things that we're taking bets on in the party is there's this guy, very senior guy, who channels, like if you see Once Upon a Time in Hollywood, his dress sense at work is like Once Upon a Time in Hollywood, right? So he channels this kind of laid back, like he owns a mustard leather jacket, right? And he wears shades and there's a lot of beads involved. And he's a very senior person in the business, right? That's how he rolls, right? Mm-hmm. Now, the money that the punters that we were taking bets on whether this man will be wearing sunglasses in the nighttime indoors.
That is Indian politician. Indian politicians do that with kurta pajama.
so that got me thinking that, you know, in the Indian scheme of things, in the office party, like this, you know, HR wale ne haath maar liya, right? Accounts wale ne zyada pee liya. Fir receptionist aunty ne khana side kar liya. Like, you know, they're like plates of shami kabab. Savita from reception, generally has declared that she's vegetarian, suddenly finds herself taking 6 packets of kebab for home use. Suddenly, that is in every kind of situation. The mind boggles. Your initial play was that you're a vegetarian. Why the F did you kind of sidewind? If you took dahi vadas, I would understand. But 6 packets of kebabs. You get all sorts of different types of behavior. And not necessarily in a Christmas party. This is in a more kind of a, either a Diwali party or something.
No, but I mean, it's generally the same, right? Like swiping resources that. Yeah. So, no, I've seen this. Like, you know, even in the West, you know, whether it's Indians or not, and I don't want to single out Indians out here, but like there are some guys who, you know, they are like the strategy would be that. So the guy has a perfectly fitting coat, but on the day of the party, he comes with an oversized coat, which is borrowed from like, you know, cousin who is slightly overweight. So yeah. I'm trying to figure out like, dude, the coat sleeves are coming to like the middle of your palm. It's obviously loose fitting. What's the point? So the guy tells me that, look, boss, I can very easily walk out with 2 bottles of wine under the coat. So what happens is that, genius, because the guy doesn't. So, you know, there are tables with lots of bottles of wine, right? And then usually what happens is that under the table, there's the crate. So the guy waits. It's not till the end of the party. So some point of time during the middle of the party, the timing is very important. That's when everyone is, you know, nice and toasted. Spirits are convivial. So the guy very gently bends down under table to, you know, maybe he dropped a penny or to tie a shoelace. And then what happens is that under the table, you know, the white tablecloth. So the hand goes under the white tablecloth. The jacket sleeve is over. Very smoothly, one bottle comes out under one armpit. Other bottle comes out under another armpit. So guy walks out very confident, total like, you know, James Bond kind of calm, Bond supremacy. Very peacefully walks out and just, hey, I forgot something in my car, man. So 2 bottles of like fairly high quality wine go into the trunk of the car. So amazing one.
Anyway, look, we've talked about this for a while. I think the shout out is that everybody should have a great time and enjoy and make the best of the festive season ahead. We'll probably come back and do a session on how the lead up to Christmas and partying generally is going.
Yeah.
But that's it for me on this episode, bro.
Yeah, me too. All right, man. Take care.
Thank you so much for listening to us. Rohit and Bunty would like to sign off. Please stay tuned. Follow us on India Explained on Twitter. Keep listening. Thank you for all your support.